Welcome to Disciple City Church Podcast. My name is Jerry Wagner, founder and lead pastor of Disciple City Church in Dallas, Texas. Thank you for tuning in. Our desire is to unleash a family of healthy disciple makers in Dallas to reach the world. God bless you as you listen and consider subscribing so that you can listen to new messages each week. Thank you and have a God-filled day.
Have you ever noticed how differently we treat things that we borrow versus things that we own? How we treat things that are not ours differently than the things that we treat when they personally belong to us. Go back with me to your childhood. Remember when you used to live with your parents and you used to, like me, leave lights on. You used to take long, hot showers, causing your siblings to say, "There's no more hot water." Or eat and waste food that was not yours. And when your parents would rebuke you, scold you, yell at you for being wasteful with those things, oftentimes you would brush it off, roll your eyes. Well, you couldn't roll your eyes in my mama's house, but roll your eyes and be like, "What is the big point?" I can hear my mother's voice right now. "Shut my door. Don't let my air out." And I was like, "Man, I didn't know air had legs to leave," right? I remember she, "Money don't grow on trees." And this is the famous one, "Mama, I'm hungry. There's some cereal there, but there's no milk. You better put some water on that." If you ain't never had cereal with milk or juice, you ain't ate, right? Right? But oh, how tables have turned. Oh, how things change when we have our own stuff. When we own our own cars or own our own house or have our own bills, all of a sudden we turn into our parents and we begin to monitor everything that comes in and everything that goes out. In fact, I have 5 kids, and I know if they were standing up here right now, they can recite, not me, but Tamara. Tamara is the guardian of the thermostat. When it is cold, she say, "Put more clothes on." When it is hot, she say, "Take more clothes off." Right? Don't touch Tamara's thermostat, right? I can just hear her right now. "Turn off these lights. You better eat that food, pack it up for tomorrow. It's good. Leftovers are good tomorrow." It is amazing how quickly we start valuing things because we own them and we have responsibility for them. The more and more I tell this story, I can only imagine how many of us would love to go back to the days where we didn't pay bills. We would love to go back to the days when we didn't have no mortgage. We would love to go back to the days where gas was 25 cents. You don't remember that? They like, "Pastor, how old are you?" I remember when gas was 25 cents. Regular. You know, y'all looking at it, I'm serious, right? Why? Why do we want to go back to those days? Because we recognize how blessed we were, right? We recognize how blessed we were. We recognize and now understand how valuable and how costly things are. We see the benefit of someone else footing the bill. In fact, if we're honest with ourselves, we would change the stewardship of our blessing if we could only go back home. The least we can do is turn off lights. The least we can do is manage our food intake. The least we can do is take out trash, wash dishes, and clean our room. Why? Because we recognized how blessed we were. Well, since we cannot go back to our earthly parents' house, can I ask you a question? in your heavenly parents' house? And it is simply this: are you responsible with the blessings that God has given you? We can't go back home, but remember, we have a home here on earth. And if you were to examine your life and examine how you are using the blessings that the God of the universe have given you, would you be responsible? Today, I want to talk about God's blessings. And I want to talk about blessings, not from just a monetary standpoint, because some of you all have already checked out to think I'm about to talk about tithes and offering. This is deeper than this. Yep. The blessings I'm talking about would determine how you determine who is your source. The blessings that I'm talking about is how you pursue the things of God. The blessings I'm talking about is how do you set up others to flourish because you have been blessed. And I want to set this sermon up in a very simple way. I want to tell you about the problem, the cause of the problem, and then I want to give you a solution. Because if you don't understand the problem, then you don't understand that the things that we do with the blessings of God will divide the communities that we are in. And then I want to give you a solution. How do we, as siblings of God, responsible siblings of God, navigate the blessings of God? Problem number one: irresponsible siblings fail to recognize God is in charge of giving blessings. Irresponsible siblings fail to recognize that God is the one who distributes blessings. There's no man, there's no woman, there's no child who has ever received a blessing without the permission of God. Both the just and the unjust receive blessings from on high. Even if we were talking from a New Testament standpoint, all good and perfect things come from above. Irresponsible siblings fail to recognize that God is in charge. In fact, not only do they fail to recognize that, but they get mad when God dispenses blessings on this person and not that person. I'm not going to get that deep today, but God, Esau, Jacob, who I love, Esau, who I hated. That's another sermon. But before I expound on this point, let me define what blessings are. And the reason why it's important for you and I to understand what blessings are is so that we might understand the weight when we are irresponsible with God's blessing. The Hebrew word or verb for the word bless is barak. I know that hurts some of you all, right? But that is the Hebrew word, right? The Hebrew word for bless is barak. In fact, the first time that this word is mentioned is all the way in Genesis when God blessed the Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, right? That threw me off with the Barack Obama thing, right? All right. So that's the first time that is mentioned. But the most famous and the most familiar of this term is connected to Abraham in Genesis 12, right? It is only fitting that this word is being used in this context because Jacob is the last patriarch. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that phrase that God used to speak of Abraham, our first patriarch, is going to be used in the Jacob story to let all of us know that God is the author of blessings. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 says this: I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Notice that God is the subject of blessings. Notice his design is that Abraham will be a recipient of his blessing, but he will also be an instrument to be a blessing to other people. A simple definition for blessing could be simply this: God blesses us so that through us we might be a blessing to others. That God is willing to bless you and I so that we might be a blessing to other people. It is what Tony Evans called the difference between being a conduit and a cul-de-sac. See, a conduit is a pipe that allows things to flow freely, whereas a cul-de-sac is a dead-end street. God has never intended for his blessings to end with us. God doesn't bless us so that we can flourish. God blesses us so that we can flourish and others. Why do you think God gives us so much? The problem is when God calls upon us to be a blessing to others, he doesn't in the context of sacrifice. Why? Because he's trying to figure out if he can trust you with more. He's trying to figure out if the little that he has given you, that you might cultivate it so that it might be a blessing to more people. When God's order of blessing, God the subject, we're the recipients and the instrument, when God's order of blessing is disrupted, then what will happen is it begins to divide the heart of the recipient in the community that he is entrusted in, i.e. the Jacob and Esau story. Ah, I love this story. This story starts off great though, y'all. If you were to read chapter 25, the story starts out with faith. Rebecca is barren. She cannot have children. And for 20 years, at least, Isaac and Rebecca prays to God. 20 years. The text says that Isaac was 40 when he married her, but he was 60 when they came into the world. 20 years they prayed for her womb to come alive. See, sometimes blessing takes time to mature. Blessings take time to catch up. And not only catch up, but blessing also requires us to be ready for the thing that is coming. How many people we see that gets millions and millions of dollars only to waste them in their earlier years? And then they get on YouTube like, man, I wish I knew what I knew now. They wasn't ready for it. And some of the blessings that God has given us is only to prepare us for more. 20 years they prayed. And the God who blesses not only heard them, but he blessed them twofold. Because she didn't have one child, she had two. Remember I tell you, when God blesses us, he knows how to show off. He gave them two children. And so when you're reading this story, you're excited because God all of a sudden is bringing something that was dead to life. But then the story takes a change. There's an intense struggle in her womb between these twins. It was so intense, it caused Rebecca to go before the Lord and pray in Genesis 25, verses 22 through 23. And this is what she said. What is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people will come from you and be separated. One will be the stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. Let me tell you what God is. God is about to allow the blessings of the younger to take what the older person will have. Now, when I say that out loud, I can just hear some of you all getting upset. Because all of a sudden, God has changed his program. All of a sudden, God has changed his direction. And the thing that we feel when God begins to change his methodology is, God, I deserve that. And yet, all throughout Genesis, God has been constantly switching up the order. Instead of Cain receiving the blessing, Seth did. Instead of Esau receiving the blessing, Jacob did. It said that the firstborn of Jacob receiving the blessing, Joseph did. Instead of David's brothers who were older than him receiving the blessing, David did. God is used to looking at a situation and reminding us of his sovereignty, that he's in control. Now notice, the text didn't say that they wouldn't be blessed, nor does the text suggest that one brother will be valued over the other. That is not what the text is saying. What the text is saying, that in order for God to fulfill the covenant of Abraham, this is how it needs to be set up in his program. Ah, I know for some of us it stings, because the sovereignty of God and God being in control oftentimes ruffles our feathers. But can I remind you that God is in control of blessings? That God is the architect. He is the dispensary that lets blessings come and go. What caused this? Like this family is about to fall apart. This family is about to fall apart because all of a sudden the oracle of God has spoken, and it's going to create conflict in this family. There's going to be conflict between Isaac and foreign government. There's going to be conflict between Jacob and his wives. There's going to be conflict between Jacob and Esau. And most importantly, there's going to be conflict between Jacob and God, all because they fail to recognize that God is the architect of all blessings. So what causes all this conflict? Well, let me say it like this. Irresponsible siblings fail to trust God and value God's blessing. Irresponsible siblings fail to trust God and value God's blessing. The thing that is going to cause this conflict is that Jacob will fail to trust God's process of blessing him, and Esau will devalue the blessing of God given to him. All right? Both of them have an issue with how God runs his blessing program. Both of them have an issue by how God is allotting these things. And when you have a trust issue and a value issue in the blessings of God, there's going to be conflict. Let me start with Jacob first. In Genesis chapter 25, verses 24 and 26, listen to the words of the text. When her time came to give birth, there was indeed twins in her womb. The first one came out red looking, covered with hair like a fur coat, and they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out grasping Esau's heel with his hand. So he was named Jacob. What? When you look at this birthing process, right? Notice that Jacob is grabbing the heel of Esau. In fact, the name Jacob and the word heel in the Hebrew almost sound the same. So oftentimes Jacob is referred to as the heel grabber. But when you begin to parse out his name and you begin to see how he operates, the name Jacob also means trickster and deceiver. Why is Jacob grabbing Esau's heel? He wants to be first. He wants to be the firstborn. Well, why does he want to be the firstborn? Because he knows something, either consciously or unconsciously, that the firstborn gets the blessing. Not only does the firstborn get the blessing, but according to Deuteronomy 21:17, they get a second blessing. They get a double portion of blessing. Jacob, the heel grabber and eventually the trickster, is holding on to his brother Esau because he wants to be first, because he wants the blessing. Yeah. And his behavior continues. In Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 through 33, once again, Jacob was cooking stew. Esau came in from the field exhausted. He said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff." I don't even know what it is. He just says red stuff. Like, the translation is weird, red stuff. It ain't steak, right? It ain't lobster. It ain't crab. It's the red stuff. Because I'm exhausted. That is why he was also named Edom. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthrights. Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore to Jacob and sold his birthright to him. Why? Why is Jacob tricking and deceiving his brothers out of his blessing? And the answer is simple and yet complex. It is because he doesn't trust God's process. He doesn't trust that God is going to give him the blessings that the oracle of God said that he would get. Why is this important for us? When we do not trust God's process of blessing, we will do two things. We will reposition ourselves before God, and we will deceive others to get it. When we don't trust God's process, we will position ourselves ahead of God. You know what we call that? Networking. We call it networking. And there's nothing wrong with networking until you are willing to compromise the King's way for cash. All of a sudden, we're willing to compromise in certain ways so that we may make sure that we get what we deserve. We reposition ourselves. We move into neighborhoods because we want to position our families to get educated, forgetting that God is the beginning. God is the beginning of wisdom, not us. Not the school system. Private and public schools both are terrible. In public schools, yeah, you might fight, you might go through. In private school, hey, they passing stuff. Hey, I got this, I got that. Look at all the private school kids in here like, yeah, you right. You right. But the second thing is that we know that we are not trusting the process of God is because what we are willing to do to get it. If we were to go all the way in Genesis chapter 27, we would see that Jacob was willing to deceive his own father to get the blessing of his brother. His mother has something to do with it, but I ain't gonna talk about that right now, right? And we deceive to get blessings. We disguise, and let me say this. One of the hard things about corporate America is that oftentimes when you are climbing the ladder, you gotta do it at the stepping of someone else. Oftentimes the decisions that we make come at the sacrifice of the people that we love and care for. Some of us work too much, but in our minds we say, I am providing for my family. Notice what we have done. We put ourselves in the position of provider, not God. And then when your children grow up, you wonder why you don't have a relationship with them, but you're sitting there arguing with them. But I had to provide for you. I wanted to give you things that I didn't have. Your children never asked to get stuff that you didn't have. In fact, some of them, if not all of us, who are children of God, do not even spell time, T-I-M-E. You know how we spell it? L-O-V-E. Do you love me? Do you cherish me? Do you value me? Now, before you feel sorry for Esau, notice his posture towards God's blessing. Esau, the hunter, came in from hunting. Go back to the verse. This is Esau talking. He said to Jacob, let me eat some of that red stuff because I'm exhausted. That is why he was also named Edom. Jacob replied, first, sell me your birthright. Look, said Esau, I'm about to die. So what good is a birthright to me? Verse 34, then Jacob gave him bread and stew to Esau. He ate, he drank, he got up, went away, so Esau despised his birthright. Notice Esau's posture. Esau's posture was a birthright, not my birthright. Yeah. There was no value here. What do I care about this birthright? What ownership do I have over this birthright? In fact, the text continue to say he ate, he drank, he got up, and then he went away. What is the author trying to communicate to the readers? That he doesn't value the blessing of God. In fact, the author puts in there, he despised it. He looked down upon it. When we do not value the blessings that God has given us, we will do two things. We will be quick to discard our blessings for a lesser value object or person. And secondly, we would seek instant gratification over eternal gratification. Right? Instant gratification over eternal gratification. When we don't value the blessing that God has given us, we are quick to discard it, thinking that there is something else better than what God has given us. One of the number one reasons that people are constantly getting divorces is because they think that there's something better. And they're not willing to fight for what God has given them. Yes. If I'm honest, growing up in the hood, I didn't even know I was poor until somebody told me. We all was eating Kix. This is before Kix was popular. Like when I see Kix on the screen, they doing commercials. I'm like, man, you don't eat Kix. Nobody eat Kix, right? All of us was eating government cheese. All of us was eating powdered milk and powdered eggs. All of us was eating syrup sandwiches. All of us was eating that peanut butter that came in that big glob and oil was all on top and you pouring out the oil. Oh, it was just gross. But we all ate. Grilled cheeses with government cheese is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. You can't go to the bathroom for about 5 days, but it is good. It's too thick. It's just too thick, right? But somewhere along the line, we begin to think that what God has given us is not enough. And somewhere along the line, when you don't value the blessings that God has given you, you get to a point where you're willing to discard it for something of lesser value. And then lastly, instant gratification. We want blessings now. That's why when you see these commercials saying, hey, man, take my 10-week course or whatever, and you can make $100,000 in 5 days, you're like, really? The problem is, what if you get the $100,000? Do you know what to do with it? What if you get, I remember having a lot of money in my hands, man, and I made some decisions that I'm like, whew, I would never make those decisions again. You're not ready because you're looking at money through the lenses of you as the blesser, not the one who blessed you, right? God wants to bless us, y'all. The issue is not whether God wants to bless us. The issue is, are we responsible with the blessings that God has given us? God desires to bless us. God wants to bless us. God wants us to be a conduit, right? But are we ready for the responsibility of the blessing? Which brings me to the solution. How do we become responsible siblings with God's blessings? Right? How do we do this? Right? Here's the solution. Responsible siblings recognize and respect God's blessings. Responsible siblings recognize and respect God's blessing. Jacob and Esau have been estranged for about 14 years, maybe more, right? Esau then got to a point where he wants to kill Jacob. God has told Jacob to go back to his homeland because he's been hanging out with his uncle. However, his brother is going to meet him. But before the hugs and the crying, Jacob has an encounter in Genesis 32, 24 through 32. Listen to this story because it gives us the solution to what it means to care for God's blessing. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not defeat him, he struck Jacob's hip socket as they wrestled and dislocated his hip. Then he said to Jacob, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. "Jacob," he replied. "Your name will no longer be Jacob," he said. "It will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he answered, "Why do you ask me my name?" And he blessed him there. Jacob then named the place Peniel, "For I have seen God's face to face." He said, "Yet my life has been spared." Notice something. Jacob, for the first time, recognizes God. For the first time in all of this chasing blessings and pursuing blessing, for the first time, he recognizes God. Well, what does he recognize? That God is the source of blessings. If you and I are going to be responsible siblings, the first thing that we're going to have to realize is that God is the source of blessings. Well, how do I know he recognized him as the source of blessing? Because he asked him his name. He says, "Who are you? Tell me who you are." This whole wrestling, this whole fumbling caused him to recognize that it was God who was there. The second thing he did is he respected God, the blesser. Well, how do I know that he respected him? Because he turned to him and says, "I have wrestled with God and I still have my life." Because he recognized that the source of life, the source of blessing, comes from God and God alone. Isn't that what Job said? "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the Lord." See, if we're going to be responsible siblings, we're going to have to come to this place that our life is tied up in God, not our blessings. Our life is tied up into what he has done and what he will do and not the things that we obtain. For some of us, we're going to have to be like Jacob and we're going to have to wrestle with God. And in wrestling with God, we might come to a place where God is going to have to injure something to remind us that he is the sole proprietor of blessings, that he is the architect of blessing. When we recognize and respect God's, blessing, there are three things that I think will happen to us. We'll be accountable to God, we avoid conflict in our community, and we will become a blessing to others. When we recognize that God and respect God as the blesser, there are three things that will be happening: accountability, avoidance, and we will become blessers to other people. Let me talk about accountability first. See, accountability, when you get to a point where you are accountable to God, you won't make any decisions until you fall on your knees and pray to the King. You won't make any moves until you fall on your knees and pray to the King. You won't get into any business ventures or anything that you think is wise until you look at God and say, "God, how is this forward in your kingdom? How is this moving and continuing the kingdom of Jesus?" See, that's what accountability is. You go to the King first, right? Here's the second thing. You will avoid conflict in your community. I was talking to my daughters on the couch yesterday, and you all know that I love competition, but the older and older I get, the more and more I think there's two things that steal people's joy: comparison and competition. Comparison and competition. The older I get, the more I begin to recognize that we are constantly comparing ourselves to one another, and it is constantly robbing us of the joy and the blessings that God has given us. We can't even enjoy anybody else because we're constantly looking at them like, man, see, look what they got. I want that too. And then we begin to compete. And as soon as you get it, guess what? You want more. Comparison and competition is constantly not only killing us, but it's also killing the flourishment of the church. And here's the last thing. You become a blessing to others. God blesses us so that we might be blessings to others. God gives to us so that we might set someone else up. God helps us so that we might help other people. That's the only reason, one of the main reasons he's giving you blessing. Think about it. Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and through you, all nations will be blessed. Everything we get is so that we might set somebody else up. Dr. Tony Evans taught us this, man, probably 12 years ago. He says, when God blesses you, not only do you give to God, he says, the next thing that you want to do is see how you might be a blessing to others. All right? You give to God, and then you figure out how you might be a blessing to others. You know what your bills are. You know the things that you need. You know how you get a chance to enjoy the fruits of God's labor for you. When you recognize all those things, then you begin the process, how can I be a blessing to others? The problem is oftentimes we think we got to have an abundance to do it. Man, if I just had an extra $100, I can bless somebody else. It doesn't start with $100. Sometimes it starts with $5. Your blessings never starts with the abundance. It starts with the small. Because the small helps you determine whether you can be a good steward over the abundance. You cannot start this thing when you have millions of dollars. Because your heart is something about your heart, right? But when you only have $5, and when you only have $2, when you only have a little bit of something and you can share it with somebody else, all of a sudden you know how to allocate the blessings of God. Yeah. One of the things that I'm so thankful of is the men and women who came before Tamara and I to help us. In seminary, in undergrad, y'all all know that I earned a scholarship in football, so I didn't have to pay for college. But when I moved here, right, to go to seminary, it was a family who saw Tamara and I and took a vested interest in us. DTS gave me one scholarship, only paid for half of the school. This family, who didn't even really know us, gave us the second half. Gave us the second half. Why? So that I might be standing before brothers and sisters today declaring the word of God. In fact, when we bought this building, I'm gonna show you these people. When we bought these buildings, there were three windows that we had to fix in order to get up to code. That particular family came to the building and they said, we can fix these windows, but some of these other windows, we're going to need a specialist. And because they needed a specialist, they called somebody else in. Well, the specialist came in. I'm thinking they're just going to look at these certain windows. He tells the specialist, he says, now look at all the windows in the church. I'm like, hey, bro, we got to pay you. We can't afford. He goes around a building, he looks at all the windows in the place, and it was about 13 windows that was broken. So they did all 13 windows. I'm waiting for the bill. The specialist was, hey, this guy talks about you all's family all the time and talks about what God is doing. He says, I want to be a blessing to you all as well. Don't worry about it. We did all the windows for free. See, in order for us to be a blessing to others, We have to recognize that we are accountable to God. In order for us to be a blessing to others, we have to make sure we don't see anyone else's blessing as an indictment against what we don't have. And when we can get to that place, watch this, then we can be a conduit for those who are in need as well. And so as we begin to contemplate on what God has allowed us to experience today, to be responsible siblings who are responsible for the blessings of God, we ask several questions. What is God calling you to start? What is God calling you to stop? What is God calling you to believe? And in this case, who is God calling you to share with? Right. Let us contemplate on all that God has allowed us to experience today.
Thank you again for listening to the Disciple City Church podcast. Until we meet again, Shalom.